Hey, thank you for tuning in to Instrumental Intel. I'm your host, music producer Chick with Beats, and I'm so glad that you've joined me for today. I got another show lined up for you filled with goodies. Of course, there's going to be beats produced by me, music industry news, and later my special guest, Alexandria B, will be joining me to talk about the journey from raw talent to refined artistry and so much more. So I'm really excited to be bringing this episode to you. I gotta give a shout out to my home station, Grander Radio, out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. And with that, let's go. Biz Brief, and first up, Sony Music and Warner Music Group have both released their latest financial results. Sony's music segment saw a 23% revenue increase driven by strong recorded music and publishing growth. Meanwhile, Warner Music's revenues dipped by 1%, though they managed to increase their profits by 10%. Streaming remains a hot topic, with Sony reporting a 19% boost in streaming revenues, while Warner saw an 8.7% rise. Universal Music Group's 4.1% streaming growth disappointed analysts, causing concerns about the overall streaming market. And once again, that's one of those things we just kind of got to wait and see what's going to happen next time around. Next up, Universal Music Group and Meta have expanded their global deal to include WhatsApp, allowing users to share licensed UMG music. The partnership aims to create new opportunities for artists and addresses unauthorized AI-generated content. Despite a recent dip in ad funding streaming revenues due to Meta's shift from premium videos, the deal is expected to boost UMG's revenue through short-form videos and additional licensing. Eventbrite posted a net revenue of $84.6 million for the second quarter of this year, an increase from the previous year. Despite this, the company plans to lay off around 100 employees to reduce costs, aiming to save $30 million annually. These actions come as Eventbrite faces challenges in its transition as a two-sided marketplace. However, the company is seeing mobile app adoption growth and ticket sales driven by its discovery experiences. Eventbrite also recently partnered with TikTok to help event creators promote and sell tickets. Next up in news, Roblox has partnered with DistroKid to allow independent artists to distribute their music on the platform. However, there's a major downside. These artists won't receive any payment when their music is played on Roblox. So the partnership is currently in an invite-only beta, and it lets artists opt in to make their music available to Roblox's 80 million daily users. But artists must grant rights for their music to be used for free, and there's no guarantee that their tracks will even be featured. Despite this, DistroKid's VP of marketing is saying that it's an opportunity for artists to gain exposure, as if there aren't enough of those thrown in our faces every single day. Here's the thing. Roblox actually has money to pay for music. They do this with the major labels. They've even hosted concerts on the platform. So, I mean, this is really just using independent artists to prop up the industry. I mean, if you're a DistroKid user and you want to do it, more power to you. But they do have the money to pay you, and I don't think we should take this laying down. I try to report as unbiasedly as possible, but as you can tell, I feel some kind of way about this. I think it's way past time that these major companies stop exploiting independent artists the way that they have been. All right, moving on, because that could be an entire episode on its own. United Masters has just launched its new Debut Plus tier, priced at $19.99 annually. Designed to offer independent artists broader access to its premium music distribution services while allowing them to keep 100% of their royalties. Alongside this, the Make Your Debut Challenge invites US-based artists to compete for a $250,000 prize package, which includes a performance at SelectCon 2024, artist development resources, and more. This move solidifies United Masters' commitment to empowering emerging artists with the tools and support needed to thrive in the music industry. Alright, in the buyer beware section of today's news, IQ Magazine warns of scammers posing as CAA reps, offering fake tours for Justin Timberlake and Justin Bieber. They're using non-CAA emails claiming a data breach, so these scams are designed to collect deposits for tours that won't happen. Always verify offers through reliable channels, and if you want additional tips on avoiding such scams, you can check out the Discmakers blog with some industry professionals that kind of know the ins and outs of this. All right, and finally, for the music artists and other content creators out there that might be using Patreon starting in November, users who manage memberships or subscriptions through the iOS app will face Apple's 30% transaction fee. Previously, Patreon used third-party payment systems, but now must comply with Apple's in-app purchase rule. This charge will impact new subscriptions, and creators may need to adjust their payment options. Patreon is offering a tool to help offset the cost by adjusting prices in the iOS app, and creators may also direct subscribers to their website or Android app for potentially lower costs. All right, and that's it for this week's Music Biz Brief. Stick around. I'm going to take a quick pause for the cause, and then I'll be back with my special guest, Alexandra. Andrea B. Keep it locked. Hey, I'm a Chick with Beats, multi-genre music producer and strategist to indie artists and labels. Visit achickwithbeats.com for resources for artists and instrumentals in various genres available for songs, vlogs, blogs, podcasts, themes, TV, film, commercials, and more. Once again, that's achickwithbeats.com. That's achickwithbeats.com. Let's make something happen. Thank you so much for tuning in to Instrumental Intel. I'm your host, music producer, Chick with Beats. And I'm excited, thrilled, and delighted to say that I have in the virtual building with me today, Alexandria B. Can you tell us a little bit about who you are, how you got drawn into music, and all the background stuff that we need to know that shows us who you stand for in the world today?
Yes, I can. So pretty much how I got drawn into music for the most part is basically how most vocalists have, which is starting off in choirs in church. I was in band in high school and also in choir. So I have a decent amount of music background, not just in like what I use as far as my artistry, but with other things, because I play drums too. My mom was in the choir with Ricky Dillard and New G, so it's like I traveled with them before and kind of got reeled in through like the gospel part of the music industry. And she was doing other musical stuff like in the blues scene. So having her influence, having all of the music my dad listened to as far as like, you know, the crack baby music era, like where they were like KRS-One and Tribe Called Quest and stuff like that, like I listen to those.
Oh no, you're doing great.
I listen to house music.
You know what? That's actually what this is for, you know? But you already started off pretty strong with some of your influences. And you know how your parents had kind of groomed you in that aspect. So if you could, maybe talk a little bit more about some of those things you mentioned, KRS, Tribe Called Quest. Are there any other singers that stood out to you from like when you were really young before you actually started getting into singing yourself in the church?
I will say because of my mom, it would have to be Aretha Franklin was the first one, and then like my favorite all-time celebrity, even though she's not like, I can't say this because that's basically being backhanded. My favorite like performer and artist as a whole is Janet Jackson, because her like artistry when it comes to choreography and performance and putting on the show, like I commend it. Beyonce will be next to it. As far as like my favorite vocalist, I would say from like high school all the way up until now, I would say my favorite people would be Jasmine Sullivan, Erykah Badu, Jill Scott, and this male singer by the name of Duran Bernard.
Yeah, I mean, the way that he would just piece stuff together was just
insane. When it comes to composers, I have to go with Quincy Jones. Yeah, and Michael Jackson being like overall top, like creativity-wise,
artistry. I remember Michael, you know, when I was little, like everything would stop when he dropped a new video. Like it would be on multiple stations. Everybody in the world was watching at the same time. Yeah. Yeah. Fox, like, I mean, everything. Yeah. That was just bananas.
World premiere.
So, okay, you kind of alluded to this a little bit already, but just in who you chose for different things, that I guess sometimes there can be like a split between what people value, because a lot of times people like to lump everything all in together. But I noticed how you were like, okay, for performance is this, you know, for singing is this. So which one of the things would you say you might focus more on in your own music?
In my own music, I kind of am trying to like stop being so in my head about being a perfectionist, but I want to have better stage presence when it comes to performance wise. Like, I know I have talent when it comes to singing or making the music, but it's just more so being able to put on a show and create an experience. So I want to master that part of it, stage presence, like actually performing, because it's easy to sing and do riffs and runs, but if you're not engaging with your audience, what are they there for?
Yes, because I think, you know,
possibly
everybody's experienced at some point going to a show like that, where you mentioned, you know, it's almost like, you know, they're not really doing anything. Like, yeah.
I ain't even gonna throw no shade. Like, I swear I'm not throwing shade, because I love Down. I love her to death, because she is a cold vocalist, and she's one of the people that are like goated in R&B right now, at least from my generation. And it's gonna have to be Summer Walker. Like, I'm not even gonna hold you. That is the one person I will say who had to go through stage coach and, you know, stage performance boot camp. And she had the right person to do it with, because she was working with Tiana Taylor. So, like, the way she got coached is how I'm trying to get coached. It's like the person that I would want to actually teach me how to put on a show and implement everything as far as my personality, because I'm really a goofy ass person, as you obviously can see. So I'm like, I am super goofy. So being able to add that while also showcasing my talent, I would want Duran Bernard to coach me, like him being a mentor, because if you ever seen any of his shows, like, like he said, don't call him a vibe, he's an experience. Like, that man, when he puts on a show, he does way more than the average person should be doing for the prices that his shows are, because they're reasonably priced and super cheap.
Yeah.
And he should be getting paid.
Okay. Well, you know, since you're like already aware of that, I'm willing to bet that your stage presence is pretty strong. You seem, and you know, this is just from our first conversation, you seem like somebody that fully understands the game. So I bet you there's people out there probably listening right now that'd be like, wait, she thinks she need to do better? That'd be my guess, my bet.
Honestly, I feel like it's two sides of my artistry, because I have two different artist names. I make music for the ballroom community, which is the part of the LGBTQ plus. Like, I make music for people that vogue and do runway and stuff like that in my community. So when I'm in that light, I'm forced into having like Beyonce mode stage presence, because it's like you being judged by your community. And I ain't even told you. Being around a room full of like 75% gay men.
Be honest about it. Yeah.
Like, they will eat you alive if you don't know what you're doing. If you sound the fool, they're going to tell you. Their facial expression going to say it. Like, you're going to get the Sandman gonged. Like, literally. Apollo.
Okay.
Booed, all type of stuff. Like, yeah, no, I'm cool. And our community is called the Chop. One Chop is a rap. Like, you know. But when it comes to singing, that's when I start cracking up, because it's like I have the full capability to show my vocal range and show what I'm able to do, but it'd be like it's reeling in the audience. It's finding that specific person in the crowd that's like gonna be drawn in and then just singing to them, versus me focusing on like the whole room. And then it'd be like, I don't want to crack a note.
Yeah.
I don't want like, to okay. sound like.
So really, it's more about kind of blending both personas together to get the or give the experience that you want to.
So,
wow. Okay.
So basically, my stage presence for that, I want for me being a vocal.
You know what, I agree with you there, easy, especially because I'm not a singer, but sometimes I still do,
but
even though maybe I shouldn't,
but
I kind of get what you mean. I've had friends say, like, because I do house music as well, and I've had some friends say, well, like, yeah, you don't really have to, because it's still just a vibe. So I'm like, all right, but yeah, I mean, yeah, singing is hard. Oh, no. Not at all. Nope.
Girl, try having breath control singing with anxiety. Yeah, okay. Your heart beating 15 miles per hour and you talk about something. Yep, I'm gonna sing this song.
Nope, no, I couldn't even imagine that.
open your mouth.
So, okay, you know, since you are involved in multiple different things, how do you kind of get into your creative process for every aspect that you do as far as performing goes? You can say weed. Yeah, that's fine.
Can I say weed? Okay. I had to make sure. Honestly, I make sure I'm in solitude for the most part. I go near water, like I go to the lakefront, or I'll be in my room. If I smoke me a blunt or two, make sure I hydrate myself. I either have my notes pulled up on my phone, I just go on YouTube and surf through beats. Whatever vibe catches my eye first, I stop there. I do a hook, I do a bridge, and then I will piece together 2 to 3 verses in between those. And then you just create a song. But when it comes to like me coming up with ideas strategically for like visuals and stuff, I kind of map out how I want it to play, like somewhat like screenplay writing. Like if I have other people as extras in the video, to if they have lines, I'll write those. Or,
you know, I feel like that's an incredible skill to have, because I mean, I've written a lot of verses, a lot of, you know, R&B songs, hip hop, but that's never been one of my strong suits. I commend you for that.
The crazy part is, the crazy part about that is, quiet as it's kept, most of my songs that I have recorded, I have freestyled in the studio. Like, I will wait. All of the words I write down, and then it'd be like, nah, I'm not feeling this over the beat. And then I just think of something right on the whim, because I have no choice but to do that being in ballroom. When you commentating and you emceeing, like when they have us battling each other, you have to use a word they give you.
It.
And if you stumble, crack, stutter, they're going to chop you and they're going to give it to the other person. So it's like, I do battle rap for the gays, pretty much. And it helps as an element when you're in the studio, when you feel like the lyrics you wrote down don't match the vibe of the song no more. Because when I get to the studio, my headspace shifts. I don't know what it is about going from being in my car listening to the instrumental over the speaker to that aura in the
That means it's like little, just seriously a part of you. I mean, you did mention your parents brought you up on music. I mean, you grew up singing, band, choir, all that stuff. So it's really just ingrained in you to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I guess from having this professional training, if you will, because you know, a lot of the music has been missing out of the schools and whatnot for years, how do you feel like that's kind of, how do I want to say it? Maybe giving you a better or like a stronger passion for music compared to maybe some of the stuff that we're kind of seeing now in like mainstream, where you can tell that people haven't actually been trained to do some of the stuff that they're doing?
Honestly, it sometimes can be a bit discouraging, a little bit, because when you practice and learn your craft for real, a person who's trained and skilled in stuff more advanced than you, they get better money opportunities out of it. And you have to basically work your way from the bottom and build your name organically. They get to just get booked and busy all the time. So it's like, I don't know, it can be discouraging, but it don't stop me. I just keep going. Like, I feel, or I can go to them for advice and learn a skill that I don't have and put that under my belt. So it's like, it can go one or two ways. It can be discouraging because you feel like
I feel you there. So like, even you know, considering that, like, how do you go about choosing who you collaborate and network with?
Sometimes I have bad judgment. I will say that because I will go off of longevity with people because I know they have talent and I feel like they procrastinate and sit on talents, and I don't want God to just come down and just say, Yaga, like you're done. Like, you're not gonna have it no more. So it's like, if I have a platform, even though if it's not that big, I still have some type of platform. So I know I'm doing something that you're not doing, and I'm putting you part of this to where you still get some type of income off of it. So for that situation, usually it'll be close friends. I've never really worked with a stranger before that I've never worked with, like, in life, because people be sketchy and be trying to do all types of stuff. So it'd be like, you have to have a lot of contracts with people that you don't know. So when it comes to paperwork, I haven't, like, established a full team yet, because I'm still building from the ground up. So I'm just, I don't know, I'm up in the air when it comes to collaboration. So it'd be like, when I see people on social media and have small platforms just about the same amount as mine, I'd be like, your vibe kind of matches mine, and I feel like we could collaborate on something. We don't necessarily have to go on a give or take situation. We could go 50-50, like, we both contribute, so that way it doesn't seem like somebody's trying to use somebody for their gifts or talents. So it's like, I feel like everything should be equally yoked when you do stuff like that, because this is also, you are your brand, you marketing yourself, and this is your craft, and you don't want it
wow, that's a gem you just dropped right there.
Full of impurities,
because,
and a bunch
of, I mean, you see it happen a lot. Sometimes you can even tell on a song, like, when the collaboration really wasn't.
Man.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, the chemistry don't even be there. Like, you'd be like,
right,
now you know you don't like this person.
And then also, I like what you mentioned too about being equally yoked. Because, and you know what, I think that that kind of works on the talent front and also on work ethic. Because, you know, if you work with somebody that's like crazy talented, but maybe they just kind of sit on it, like you were saying, it's almost like they know that they got it, so they don't really work that hard for it. They don't practice ahead of time. They just come in the studio trying to wing it, you know, like.
Yeah, and I had a bad experience with it. So I was like, yeah, no, like, the zero contribution, and then, like, started getting super hostile and upset that they couldn't contribute ideas. It's like, you only are supposed to be present right now because of the fact that you did not contribute to anything. So, like, how are you getting mad at me because all of the stuff that I already had on the itinerary for how this is supposed to be planned out for production, for a studio? And then, like, in that situation, I end up going, like, a huge amount over budget because of the professionalism being rocky and because the person didn't have certain things. So it was just like, you know, I have to think wisely and I have to make sure I have contracts.
I feel you on that. Like, so, you know, this is a question that I ask every now and then, but I feel like that's probably not, won't apply to you. But, you know, sometimes people go through creative blocks or, you know, maybe moments of low inspiration. Have you ever experienced that? And if so, do you have any advice for someone that might be listening that might be dealing with it right now?
I have. Like, it has happened a few times, and it only happened because I didn't grasp the concept of the feelings that you have for certain situations are only temporary. So it's like, you either gonna sit in it, learn a lesson from it, and grow, or you just gonna sit in it and mope. So when I have my dark moments of not being able to be creative, I try to flip everything that I was already in my head about and try to use that to create something. Now, usually I don't like trying to put out low vibrational music. I don't like trying to put out stuff that, like, exudes pain, but, like, sometimes that's usually how you got to get it out so it can get off you. Like, you have to release it. So in those cases, I would either write spoken word instead of writing a song that time, or I would try to compose what I feel like anger would sound like in a beat if I was playing it on drums, like rage, like do something like that. So it's like, everything you do as far as motion wise, even when it comes to dance, your movement can be you releasing all of the trauma energy and, like, negative cloud that's hovering over you. So I honestly feel like if anybody out there is, like, going through that, try to use your trauma, yeah, that's excellent your pain, advice. Whatever.
I saw a quote once before that kind of, I can't even remember where it came from, but what you said just kind of pulled that up for me, because it's saying that like you're not really necessarily experiencing block. It's just you don't want to do what you've been told to do or share. And so that, yeah, that's really interesting. I like the way you put that. So yeah, with that being said, you know, you've got all these skills, all these talents. What do you have coming up in the next few months, or I guess for the remainder of the year, since we're coming up on the end of 2024 so quickly? But yeah, what do you have planned for the rest of the year? It is.
Yeah, because this year just went by so fast. Like, it was just January. Mm. I blinked, my birthday done passed. Like, girl, what? This is crazy. But I feel like I want to keep it a secret, but I don't. But anyway, I have my project that I'm working on as far as my full EP. Like, the first one that I'm ever dropping is supposed to drop in December. I'm not going to give a specific date because of stuff happens like with production, and it might come earlier than the date that I say or later. So I'm just gonna say I'm pushing for it to be released in December for sure. I'm doing a couple different, I'm doing another interview besides this one that you have me on with a podcast. I have some like R&B ciphers and some MC ciphers that I'm trying to do on my own platform though. Like, I already collaborated with a DJ. I just need to get like underground artists and get them on the platform to see where their heads are at with writing the freestyle and then coming to record it. Like, I have a videographer, all of that. So I got the location scouted out, everything. Mm. Like, I want to create my own platform since it's hard for me. Like, I'm not going to keep getting discouraged. So I create a platform for myself. I can't get on Tiny Desk until I get a certain amount of number of streams on my music. I can't get on certain shows or other platforms like the Terrell Show or stuff like that because I'm not popular enough. So you're going to see me. You're just going to see me. You're going to see me marketing. You're going to see ads on Instagram. You're going to see me on YouTube. You're going to see me everywhere. Like,
love
now, you have no choice.
I just recently had a guest on page one out of New Orleans.
That's how that goes.
Where he was saying that, you know, the same thing that you were saying. It's like a lot of times you get told no, then you start to create your own stuff. You make your own opportunities. So, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, and you tell yourself yes. As a million no's, right yes is going to put you and set you up for the rest of your life. So it's like, that's the reason why, as a birthday gift, I just got a tattoo that says Optimistic. The Sounds of Blackness made a song called Optimistic. I listened to that song as an anthem, like a national anthem, damn it, every day. So it's like, you have to keep your head up, even when you feel like your neck heavy as hell. Like, your head feel heavy as ish, like a big head boulder on your shoulders. You have to continue to keep thriving and pushing, because at the end of the tunnel, it's going to be light. It's just dark right now temporarily because of the fact that the journey is never going to be premeditated. You're not going to always have a blueprint. You sometimes got to go in it blind, go in it scared, and just make sure you make it out without like completely quitting. Because if you quit, then honestly, I feel like you just get time warped back into a reset and you just have to do it all over again. That's my opinion. So like, when I create these platforms for myself, you're going to see me regardless, because I'm actually investing my own hard-earned money into promo, making sure I get put on platforms and, well, I mean, playlists and stuff on Spotify, like getting placement so that I get higher streams so you can hear me.
Yes.
And then now I'm starting to get into doing interviews like this. So now I can introduce myself so you can see the personality behind the music too. Like, you're not just seeing me trying to make you dance or nod your head a couple times to zone. You actually can understand me, Alexandria, be as artist. Like, I don't really want too much to do with the toxic part of the industry. I want it to be like, another little black girl or another little black boy can see me and see me as an example that you can do the same thing as long as you put your mind to it, put in the effort and the work.
That is a beautiful sentiment. So, yeah, I mean, I commend you for all that. And, you know, it's just, I feel like a lot of times people are just so focused on getting known that they don't necessarily think about how that impacts other people. So the fact that you know that you're going to inspire someone else, I think is really a beautiful thing. Yeah, that's...
I'm doing it now. Like, I'm currently doing it now. And it took a long time for me to get to that point. Like, my mental state had to go through a lot of, like, sitting in solitude and sitting in a lot of my situations that had to either make me have an ego death, humble me, or teach me a lesson that I needed to value and hold dear to my existence and keep using those lessons to make sure I don't keep making the same mistakes and pass that knowledge on to somebody else. So they don't make that same mistake. And even if they do make them, just keep pushing even after. Learn from your mistakes and keep going. So personally, it's just like, you have to
Mentioned like all the different things that you're doing, developing your own platform, you know, continuing to grow that. You also have a manager. I think a lot of times people don't understand that before people get managers, they have to be doing stuff to be managed. So, you know, you're one of those people that obviously understands that. What advice do you have for somebody that's, you know, maybe not quite where they need a manager yet, but they kind of want one? Like, what advice do you have for them to kind of grind till they get to the point where they can get one?
Consistently stay in the studio or consistently make content. Be who it is that you want to be seen as and don't talk about it. Like, if you genuinely feel like you want to be this type of artist in whatever avenue that is, be that. Live in it. Even if you feel like you don't have the means to, be delusional until that becomes your reality. Live like you already have what it is that you have. So if you don't have a manager right now, pretend you do. Pretend you your own manager. And actually manage to promote yourself. Manage to try to get bookings for yourself for little small stuff like open mic nights or talent shows. Make sure you're doing something productive so that way when managers or agents are looking for new talent, you right on their radar because you being productive. So I would say stay productive the entire time. Always be uncomfortable because once you get comfortable, you get stagnant.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Like, continue to be uncomfortable.
So, okay, you know, looking at the clock, staring take on the challenge, right down the face. And get to the next one. If you have any shout outs or thoughts that you want to kind of leave the listeners with, you can do that at this time.
I'm just going to say it straight out the gate. Shout out BDS. Like, that's the reason why I'm on this radio right now. Like, this is why I'm on this platform right now. Like, Fabe is the person that is making sure he makes moves behind the scenes to make sure that we doing stuff in front. Like, making sure everything counts, has intention behind it. I'm doing all of this for me, but I'm trying to make my grandma proud, too. Like, that's the leading person that I'm trying to make sure I get her out the hood. I'm tired of her being in Chicago. I swear to God. Like, she gotta go. She needs to be somewhere where she could just kick her feet up. Don't gotta worry about bills. Mm-hmm. Like, her rent, mortgage, lights paid up, appliances updated, all that. Like, that's really who is my main, like, inspiration to keep going. Because she's still here. Like, she's still kicking and alive. And she's a baby boomer. They're going extinct. So that's that's literally my main thing is to make sure I make me proud, make her proud, and make sure that I am an example for the littlest and from the infants all the way to high school students. Like, anybody after me, I'm trying to make an example for them. And also be transparent as well, because I ain't even gonna lie to you. I am not a perfect person. I make mistakes. I make dumbass decisions because everything in this life is trial and error, honestly, until you get called home. So I will say, don't be afraid to make mistakes because they're what's going to give you the character development that you need to make sure you have a solid foundation when you get where you need to go. So you don't mismanage anything. For any other artist that's out there that need to stay focused and remain disciplined, don't focus on the money part, focus on the art. make it your passion, make it something that you love, because once it turns into a job, it turns into something that's draining you and you crash out. And then you start doing drugs and all types of goofy shit. Hey, don't do that. If you smoke a little weed, okay, you know, everybody can't be holier than thou, but you know, stay away from the hard stuff. Don't get caught up in that alcoholism. Stay away from it. You need to rise your level. Go get
100%. I love it. Okay, so yeah, before we close out, I want to make sure that everyone knows where they can follow you. You can drop all your social media, websites, anything that you got where people can keep up with what you got coming up. Yeah.
If y'all, okay, so if y'all got TikTok, y'all can follow me at Breezy Ebony, BreezyEbony. And then you can find me on Instagram at Alexandria_B. Well, no, Alexandria_B_PG. That's what my Instagram is. So those are the only two that I'm really navigating. Because you on Facebook, you literally got to be cooking or something. Because that's my outlandish, like, crackhead side. So right. Those are the main two platforms.
Well, awesome. Thank you for taking the time to come on and share your wisdom, your experience, and I hope that this will just be the first of many and that I can have you back on later on. All right, I'm looking forward to it.
For sure. And we'll definitely have updates and like progress whenever I come back on here again.
All right, and that does it for this week's episode of Instrumental Intel. I've been your host, music producer Chick with Beats. I'd like to thank my guest, Alexandria B, for tapping in and sharing her insight, wisdom, and experience with us. I'd like to thank Fabian James, her manager, for bringing her to our attention. I'd also like to thank you, the listener, for tuning in. And of course, I'd like to thank my home station, Grander Radio, out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Next week, I got another great show lined up for you, filled with goodies, and Sandstorm McDowell will be my guest, so I'm excited to bring that episode to you as well. So till next time, you know where to find me. Tune in, tell a friend. I'll see you then. Peace.